Okay, we want to welcome everybody that's watching online this morning. I know you're glad to see each other. I have a card I'd like to read to you, and then I'll have it read in church as well. It's a thank you card from my sister, and it says, "Thank you so much. Your help made all the difference. Waldo Church family, thanks for all your love, prayers, food, and support during the passing of my son, Barbara Davis, and my nephew as well, and we appreciate everything that everyone did for our family. And this is part of our family. And so we love you, appreciate you, and thankful for that. Remember my wife in your prayers. We go to Baptist Hospital Tuesday, and she's sick every morning, and they think it's her gallbladder is not functioning. So they're going to do that test in Baptist Hospital Tuesday. Also remember John Taylor in your prayers. He has a lot of physical problems that have to be addressed, and we pray that he has good results of that, that the doctors are able to help him. Remember Debbie in our prayers as well, and all of those in our church family that have cancer. Continue to pray for Mike Hicks as he's having treatments now for his. Remember Brother Charlie Parr in our prayers too. He told me what the shots are helping him, but he told me what they cost, and I told him I'd probably died from a heart attack if once they told me what the shots cost that he's getting. But we want to remember all of our church family in our prayers that are sick and hurting. Those that are shut in, like Steve and Sue Heine, who aren't able to get out, and I pray that they're able to watch online. I want to remember them, Dwayne, Diane Goss, Ray Kelly. There's just a lot of folks that having a hard time right now, especially Steve and Sue, so that we need to remember in our prayers. So let's go to the Lord in prayer together this morning. Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you for your great salvation, for your grace and mercies that are new every day, for the love that you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ, for his sacrifice on the cross and the atoning sacrifice that reconciled us to our Father in heaven. Father, we thank you for all that you've done and all that you do and all that you're going to do, because you are an almighty God from everlasting to everlasting. We pray for those of our church family that are sick and hurting, those that have medical problems that have to be addressed. We lift them up and pray for each and every one. We pray, Lord, that they might have good results of the tests that are done. We pray that the treatment might be successful. But most of all, we pray for your healing grace upon their bodies. And we pray, Lord, according to your will, you would raise them up. And, Lord, you'd give them health and strength for each day. We thank you for everyone that's here this morning. For everyone that's watching online, we lift them up and pray for them as well. We thank you for the opportunity to go into the Word of God, to see what God says to us, to hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against you. So we thank you for this day and the opportunity to study your Word together. For we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Through his shed blood we pray. Amen. We're in the fifth chapter of the book of 1 Peter. As you probably know, we've been working through this great book in the Bible. Last week, we talked mainly about the church and the flock, as God calls it, as sheep. And today, we're going to mainly talk about who a shepherd is, what a shepherd does, and what God has called him to do and to be. Very important. So we'll begin in the fifth chapter in the first verse, and we'll read down through the fourth verse of the fifth chapter. Peter writes to the church and to the peoples that are scattered over five provinces, and he says to them, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that under your care serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Now then, Peter is writing here to the elders. Elders, bishops, pastors are all the same thing in the New Testament, in the Scriptures. As you look at those different names for those positions that God calls people to. And so we see that that's what he is writing to. And we talked about last week a sheep and why God calls us that and why he calls the church a flock. Why he calls the church a flock. Because he identifies us with the needs of sheep. He identifies us with the needs of a shepherd over the sheep. And so that's what we're looking at. And what he's doing, he's challenging the pastor, elders in those churches that they might be able to lead them in the right way that God has called them out to do, especially as they're suffering through persecution and problems and trials at the time in which they live, about 64 AD, when we think about the persecution that they were going through at that time. Now then, for the first thing that Peter says here, I appeal to you as a fellow elder. So what he's talking about to begin with is authorization. He says, I'm not talking to you as someone that doesn't know what you're going through. I'm not talking to you as someone that doesn't understand what God has called you to do and God has called you to be. He says, I am one like you. I am a fellow elder. And so in saying this, he's telling them, I understand your trials. I understand your problems that you face. I understand what you're going through. And let me say this, unless you've been a pastor, you don't understand what a pastor goes through. You may think you do, but you really don't. Because only if you stood in those shoes and served in that position and done those things that God has called you to, can you understand what it takes and how challenging it can be and how rewarding it can be as well. I know when we were meeting together and the committee that called were looking to bring the right pastor to Waldo, I told them one of my greatest concerns was that he knew that he was called of God to lead this flock. Because I told them, and also told them this, and I'm telling you the very same thing here as we see what Peter is saying here. Unless you've been there and done that, you can't understand that unless you have the confidence, the absolute confidence that God has called you, equipped you to do that very thing where you are, when things get really hard, you won't be able to go on unless you know above everything else that God has called you to do that. If God hasn't called you to do that, you'll never make it. You'll never get through. You won't be able to handle it. You won't be able to lead the church. Because it will get hard. There will be trials. There will be hard times. There will be difficulties. As the sheep had threats to them constantly, threats from outside, threats from disease, the church always has threats. The threat of deception. The threat of deception is a huge threat to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's, and remember when we closed last time, I think I asked you this, and then I answered it for you. But what is it that Jesus, when he came to Peter after his resurrection, and Peter was fishing, and he came upon the seashore there, and Peter came to the shore, and remember, Peter had denied him three times, and Jesus said, do you love me? Three times he did. And every time Peter would say, Lord, I love you. And the last time he said, Lord, I know you know I love you. And every time, what is it that Jesus would tell him to do? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Because the real problem is, if you do not feed the flock straight from the truth of the Word of God, not your opinions, not your ideas, not what you think might be right, but thus saith the Lord. If you do not teach them, if you do not preach the Word, if you preach about current events, if you preach about what somebody else thinks, if you preach about what you even think, other than the Word of God, then the threat is going to become real within the body of Christ, within the flock of God, because they will have absolutely nothing to stand on if they do not have thus saith the Lord and know it is God's word that they can stand on through every trial, every situation, and everything that comes in their life. It is the anchor. It is the thing. It is the foundation. It is everything stands on the Word of God. And everything in your life is built off of that in your life. Because believe you me, trials will come. Tribulation will come. And so, first thing Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Any pastor that's worth his salt at all is going to preach from, teach from the very Word of God. Not their opinions, not what they think is right, not what they think ought to be right, not who they think God is, but who God reveals himself as. Because there are many churches across America today that are not churches at all. They have someone that is one of the greatest problems in the Southern Baptist Convention today that I see that is happening is a pastor taking a church just long enough to move on to a bigger church, to move on to a bigger church, to move on to a bigger church. They see it as something through which they can find gain, whether it be gain of notoriety, whether it be gain of numerically of money, whether it be to feed their own pride, or whatever it might be. If you look on down here, I want you to see this. Let me find out which verse it's in. He says, the flock that is under your care. And he says, the flock that has been entrusted to you. Entrusted to you. Verse 3. Not lording it over those entrusted to you. What does that mean? That means that God called me and then Trad, and now God has called Nate to be an overseer, a shepherd over the flock that God has given him. Not over a flock that God has not given him. Not over a flock that God has not given him. A young pastor came to Dwight L. Moody one day, and he said, he was talking to Moody, and he said, Brother Moody, he said, my church is too small. I need a bigger church. And Moody said to him, maybe that's as large a flock as God can trust you with. Because one day you will give an account for how you have shepherded that flock. So when God calls a shepherd, a bishop, an elder, a pastor to a church, they must know in their heart that he has been called to serve over, to lead, to guide, and mainly to feed that flock that God has trusted him with. Another flock, that's somebody else. Remember, we're all in the same flock of God in the body of Christ, but in the local New Testament church, God calls out men that he puts there to pastor over those who have been entrusted to him by Almighty God himself. God will send the people that he wants here. He will bring the people that he wants here. We won't reach them by gimmicks. We won't reach them through some big promotional campaign. God will send them if we are true to God, we shepherd the church, we feed the sheep, and we do exactly what God has called us to do, because God is the one that brings them, and if he doesn't bring them, they don't need to be there. So you are here not by accident. You are here because God has brought you here. Nate is here because God has brought him here. He has brought him here along with myself and David and Caleb to shepherd the flock. And Nate is the lead shepherd on this. But all of us together are called of God, entrusted to those who God will send here. And that's what we see when we look at this. And so Peter says, first of all, he says, I can challenge you to do this because I'm one of you. I'm an elder just like you. That's the first point he makes. When we look at chapter 5, we see what he's saying here. I appeal as a fellow elder. Then the second one he makes is concerning the sufferings of Christ. He says, I am an eyewitness, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also was sharing the glory to be revealed. So the second thing he says, I have witnessed Christ's sufferings, and he did. Although he denied Christ three times, Christ forgave him for that, and he witnessed the sufferings of Christ that he went through. And so the second thing he says to them to motivate them, I want you to understand how Christ suffered for you. I want you to understand how Christ suffered for you. When I'm getting in the place where I'm having a little pity party, the one thing that helps me more than anything else is to look at the cross. When I get to thinking I'm having a hard time, when I get to thinking, well, God, I don't know why it is this way, or I don't understand why I'm going through this, all I have to do is look at the cross. I haven't been half beat to death, mocked, made ashamed, nailed to a tree, hung between heaven and hell, until I died with a spear thrust in my side. So I cannot even begin to compare with the one that died for me. And so the second thing that he says as he's writing to them here, I have seen Christ suffer myself. I know what he went through for you. So you can go through this. You can handle this. You can get through this. Because Christ suffered hellaciously on a cross. And so that's a second point that he makes as he writes to them here. All right. Now then. The third point that he makes here as he goes through this, what does he say? A witness of Christ's suffering and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Well, how does he know about the glory to be revealed? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. I'll wait a moment before you get there. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And there he was transfigured before them. What does that mean? He was transfigured before them. He pulled away the veil of himself, and what they saw was the glory of God. What they saw was not just a human being. What they saw was deity. He was transfigured before them. Notice what else it says. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And just then there appeared before them Moses, Elijah, talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, for one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. In verse 5, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, capital S, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when, verse 6, when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. Peter was an eyewitness to the glory of God. Peter was an eyewitness to the glory of God. So as he is writing to the elder, shepherd, bishop, pastors, he's saying to them, I have seen for myself the glory of God, and I will share in this with you one day. And so the third thing that he says to them here, personal revelation. He says, I have seen for myself the glory of God. He knows what he's talking about more than anyone else. He has seen the glory of God. And my brothers and sisters, we will be just like the disciples when we see the glory of God. And so this is the third thing that he says when he's writing to them there. Now then, the next thing that he says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Someone has asked me before, in fact, several times, Why do you do this? Why do you do this? I don't know anything else. Many times we've had about 5 pastors, missionaries called out of this church in my ministry. And they would come to me and they would say, I think God's calling me into the ministry. And I always tell them the same thing. And by the way, when I was reading through this with MacArthur, I found out that he always told them the same thing. I always told them, if you can do anything else, go do it. Because if God has really called you to do this, you won't be satisfied with anything else. You won't find peace with anything else. You won't find fulfillment with anything else. And that is absolutely true. That is absolutely true. The reason I do this, it sure isn't for money. The reason I do this is because I know in my heart not only that I have been saved by the grace of God, but that God one day called me to do this. And I also know that He called me to do it here. I would have left here many times, if I knew that God was calling me somewhere else. But I've always said, you bloom where you're planted. If God has called you there, you stay there until He tells you to go somewhere else. Well, He's never told me to go somewhere else. If He had, I would have. Because above everything else, I do realize that I can't pastor a church. Only God can. And I can't preach, only God can. And I can't teach, only God can. And so I have to rely on Him for everything that I do. If I'm going to have fulfillment, if I'm going to experience God's blessing, peace, joy, love, grace, mercy, then I must be obedient to what He's called me to do above everything else. As you must be obedient to what He's called you to do above everything else. Our whole world is looking for peace. It's looking for happiness, looking for joy, looking for fulfillment, and looking in all the wrong places. Because apart from God and Jesus Christ, you'll never have it. You'll never find it. And so, when we look at the scriptures here and we look at what Peter is saying here, he says, and he gives them these, he says, shepherd the flock of God. Now, I'm telling you this from a, first of all, common experience, right? And for a fellow elder. Then I'm telling you this because of apostolic authority. I've been an eyewitness of Jesus Christ. And then the third thing we saw, he says, I want you to understand I have witnessed personal revelation, the glory of God. I have witnessed personal revelation, the glory of God. And the next thing he says is identification in verse 2. And that's just what I've been talking about. Shepherd the flock of God among you. Among you. The flock of God that God has called you to shepherd. Don't worry about somebody else's flock. They've been called to shepherd. This is where God has called you. This is where God has put you. You be faithful to this flock. What does that mean? That means you love them, you care for them, you protect them, you feed them, you love them. That's what it means. And if you can't do that, you can't be a shepherd. The shepherd has to love his sheep. It doesn't matter if it's the newest sheep in the flock or the sheep that's been there ever since he has. It doesn't make any difference. God has called you to love them, care for them, protect them, and above all, to feed them from the Word of God. And if you can't do that, you can't be a shepherd. And believe me, people know if you care for them or not. People know if you love them or not. People know if you're preaching and teaching, thus saith the Lord, or not. People know if you're trying to protect them by giving them the truth or not. And that's what God has called shepherds to do. And this church has really been blessed, not so much by me, but by David, Caleb, Nate, Trad, everyone that he's called out of this world to be a shepherd of this flock right here on this hill in Waldo Baptist Church. Believe me, I know. I know. And it's just a God thing. How do you grow a church in a cornfield? It's just a God thing. And that's really what makes it worthwhile. That's really what makes it worthwhile. Because when you look at it, you say, I know it wasn't me. It's all about him. Only God can make a shepherd. Only God can use a shepherd. It's the way it has been. It's the way it always will be. And the shepherd will never neglect his flock. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, thanking you for so great a salvation, praying for Nate in the service to come, that you might fill him with the Holy Spirit and speak through him, thus saith the Lord, that the sheep might be fed, protected, loved, and cared for by the grace of an almighty God. And I pray that if there's anyone in this next service that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, the Word of God might break through by the work of the Holy Spirit into their heart and life and draw them to Christ that they might be saved. Father, do your work in this place as you always have. For we ask it in